helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. In the preamble to the Constitution, where the framers both introduced the document and explained its purpose, the very first goal was to establish justice. Noah Webster defined justice as the virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Today, we are witnessing the collapse of justice, of the rule of law at the federal level. While our history is replete with examples that the rule of law was stumbling, recent evidence shows the foundations of justice crumbling right before our eyes. If the foundation of justice falls, how long before domestic tranquility, the common defense, and the general welfare that are built upon it falls as well? Recent testimony by Director Wray shows that the FBI now stands for the Federal Bureau of Intimidation. Then we have the pitiful investigation by the Secret Service into the cocaine found at the White House and the failure to find the leaker of the Dobbs Supreme Court decision. Not to mention the failure to identify the January 6 pipe bomber, while reports of the inhumane conditions of some of those accused of crimes on that same day continue. Add to that the actions of Attorney General Garland and the rest of the Department of Injustice, and we see a pattern of attacks not only on the rule of law, but on the very foundations of Americans' rights and liberty. One might say that America has fallen from a constitutional republic into a banana republic, but that would be an insult to banana republics. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I'm so glad you could join me today as we talk about the collapse of the rule of law and justice at the federal government. We are witnessing history, ladies and gentlemen. The question is, will America recover? You know, I just published an article on the website, constitutionstudy.com, going over the role of the presidency. And, you know, talk about timing. Then we have the difference between the presidency, the executive branch, the different departments that all work for the presidency. And here we have this news flooding our airwaves, our internet pipes of the utter failure of parts of the executive branch to faithfully execute the laws of the United States. The president is tasked. It is part of his job to faithfully execute the role of president, to faithfully ensure that the laws of the United States are executed. And it's become a failure. And it's not just this president, ladies and gentlemen. This has been going on since before the Biden administration. It's part of our lack of understanding of the role of the presidency, how it works, what this person's actually supposed to be doing, that I think has led us to this. But what we see today, not just a lack of justice, the actual flagrant disregard publicly for anything even close to resembling justice, well, it should concern all of us. Now, although the words equal protection under the law only exist in the 14th Amendment against the states, the idea that the federal government, you're supposed to have equal protection of the law, you're supposed to be treated fairly, and that is just no longer true. And any faith in the law enforcement agencies that still exists is more from inertia from earned trust. Now, listen, I've had encounters with FBI agents, and I hold them nothing in due regard. They were professional, they were polite, they were great. But the FBI as a whole has become such a corrupt organization as I believe to warrant disbandment. For the longest time, I thought what we need to do is change the people at the head. I don't know if that's still the case anymore. If what we learned from Director Wray's testimony the other day, just last week, is any idea, any example of the disconnected from reality of those that are leading our law enforcement, our federal law enforcement agencies, then God help us. Now, let's start with some of the more, I don't know. Maybe American call
people need to
answers.
Understand what just happened. My colleague just asked the director of the FBI whether or not they are buying information about our fellow Americans.
A SWAT team
and the
was
answer
used to raid
is, well, we'll just have to get
President
back to
Trump's
you on that. It sounds really complicated.
Looking for national security material. And Director Ray said no. Okay. That may be technically true. In other words, it may not have been an actual SWAT team that did the raid. Question is, were they showing up in tactical gear? Right? Because you've got the official, you've got a SWAT team, and then you have people that wear the same gear. They may use the same tactics. They may look the same, but they're not actually part of SWAT. Right? So, okay. But compare the reaction to the raid on Mar-a-Lago to something was a Representative Getz, I believe, brought up. And this involves, I believe it's a WhatsApp message that Hunter Biden allegedly sent to the chief executive of the executive of the Chinese Energy Agency back in 2017.
I'm sitting here with my father. I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? Almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI has no interest in protecting anyone
about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is, and your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing about you.
Now, I don't want to play games here. What I see here actually is a little bit of potential bad news, and a lot of political spin. Right, so. First of all, the question is, from my mind, is the context. Matt Gaetz is playing gotcha politics, right? We shouldn't blame all of the collapse of the rule of law on the Democrats, right? Here you have a Republican taking a message out of context and assuming it means something that is yet to be proven. So Hunter Biden could have been texting them. They could have had a perfectly legitimate private business deal that may or may not have involved his father, that he's saying, we had a deal, we had a contract. If you don't fulfill that contract, if you don't fulfill the deal that we made, then, I have power. My father has power. There will be consequences for not fulfilling. That isn't necessarily a shakedown as Matt Gaetz characterizes it. Now, the follow-up question, are you protecting the Bidens? I'm not sitting here looking at this one. I can't say that he is. Looking at some of the other things that have happening, I believe there is evidence that the FBI is, and much of federal law enforcement is protecting the Bidens. Let's change gears here. We're going to listen to the back and forth between Representative Kevin Kiley and Director Ray, this time dealing with the treatment of children in schools.
In the face of this, Director, the Biden administration decided to take action. It mobilized the sweeping powers of federal law enforcement. But it wasn't to spare kids from such cruelty. Rather, it was to target the parents who were speaking out against it. The administration coordinated with the National School Board Association on a letter that began with the alarming claim America's public schools and its education leaders are under an immediate threat. The letter cited a handful of news stories, almost all of which involved purely expressive activity by parents at school board meetings, and called such activity a form of domestic terrorism. The letter called for the full counterterrorism and law enforcement powers of the federal government, including authority granted under the Patriot Act, to be mobilized to investigate, intercept, and prevent such activity. The Biden administration was ready to take this letter and run with it the moment it was received. After all, administration officials had participated in its drafting. Within 5 days of receiving it, Attorney General Merrick Garland fired off his infamous memo directing federal action in response to a, quote, disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. In response, the FBI opened 25 assessments against parents and even created a new threat tag. Director Wray, did Attorney General Garland consult with you or the FBI before issuing that memorandum?
I can't get into discussions that did or maybe more importantly did not happen between the FBI and the department in advance of the...
Why do you say more importantly did not?
Well, because I will say to you the same thing that I said to all 56 of our field offices as soon as I read the memo, which is that the FBI is not in the business of investigating or policing speech at school board meetings or anywhere else for that matter, and we're not going to start now. Now, violence, threats of violence, that's a different matter. We're going to work with our
state. Correct. So that's what the memo is.
Okay, let me interrupt there because what they're talking about, Representative Kiley did the whole setup, right? The National Association of School Boards, the letter, they worked with the administration. You have the Attorney General memo, and specifically you have the FBI opening investigations and establishing specific threat tags targeting parents at school board meetings for what, according to Mr. Kiley, is simply expressive behavior protected by the First Amendment. And what was interesting is his question, now he sounds more like a prosecutor. He says, did the Attorney General consult with you? To me, that sounds like a prosecutor going after a witness on the stand. Because I want you to listen to this next back and forth, and then I'm going to explain something I saw when I watched this.
So that's what the memo was predicated on. And what I'm asking you, was there any evidence that you provided to Attorney General Garland that supported that predicate, that premise that there was an increase in harassment and threats of violence?
I'm not aware of any such evidence, but I know that we've had a number of our folks who have been up here for transcribed interviews. Mm-hmm. So unless some of them shared it, I'm not aware of any.
What they've shared with us points to just the opposite. You had, for example, a letter from Christopher Dunham, acting assistant director in March of this year, where the FBI acknowledged that it has not observed an uptick of threats directed at school officials since it began tracking the data. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yes, sir.
And is it also true that, according to the FBI itself, none of the school board-related investigations have resulted in federal arrests or charges?
I think that's correct. I think
at that point, Mr. Kiley interrupted because he wanted to use his time in a way he thought best. But listen to what he's saying. He said, was there any evidence that you gave to Mr. Garland to deal with that, to create that memo? Now, why I found this interesting is, wait a second, the FBI opened 25 investigations. The FBI created a new threat tag. What about the question of, was there any evidence that led you to open those 25 investigations? Was there any evidence that led the FBI to open a new threat tag? That's why I say this sounds like a prosecutor, in this case, going after Mr. Garland rather than the person directly in front of him in this interrogation, I guess you could call it. Now, I don't have audio for this one, but at one point, Chairman Jordan asked Director Wray, he asked the question, what's the difference between a traditional Catholic and a radical traditional Catholic? Now, why did he ask that? Well, discussion came around to the leaked memo that out of the Richmond field office that showed that the agency was taking, let's say, special interest on traditionalist Latin Mass Catholic parishes. And you know what Mr. Wray's response was? He says, well, I'm not an expert in Catholic orders. Okay. He went on to say, you're referring to the Richmond product, which is a single product by a single field office. As soon as I found out about it, I was aghast and ordered it withdraw and removed from FBI systems. But apparently there was no investigation into the author or the way that product was put together. In fact, Mr. Jordan said, you were aghast, so why don't you let us talk to the people who put it together? He said, we are working on finishing an internal review into what happened. This happened back in January of this year, and they're still going through the event. Now, granted, it's a bureaucracy. It's going to move slow, but this seems more glacial. And it's this type of thing that I think leads people to to question the FBI. If you have a product and the director said he was aghast, why is it taking so long to come up with an answer? Why is your internal investigation taking so long? Why will you not allow the people that created it to be investigated by Congress? And again, part of this is, I understand this is another witch hunt. I'm not saying the FBI is innocent here, but there's a lot of politics in how this is going down, because what we have here is a general investigation by Congress into, in this case, the FBI and other parts of the executive branch. What you don't see is the legislative purpose, because no one here is saying, listen, we're looking into articles of impeachment against these people. Therefore, we need to decide if there's enough evidence to actually impeach them. Impeachment's not been on the table, as far as I know, as far as I've heard, as far as I've seen. So I understand there's politics here on both sides. But the fact that the FBI had a product that became public, it was leaked. And then right after it was leaked, we find, now we find out that Director Wray was aghast. But they seem to be, let's say, keeping things in-house, which, again, not that uncommon for law enforcement. That's kind of a tradition, the thin blue line, protecting their own, that we've kind of begun to, we kind of expect. I don't say everybody does it, right? But that's kind of a stereotype we have. But again, that just destroys the faith in the FBI and the fact that they're more interested in intimidating political opponents than they are in actually dealing with crimes. Now, I have to take a break. Before I go, though, you know, if you're interested in that article on the role of the presidency, it should be up on AmericaOutloud.news fairly shortly, if it's not up there quite yet. You can also find it at ConstitutionStudy.com. Also, you know, I travel, and when I travel, I often have a hard time falling asleep. Well, that's why I pack REM Sleep by Healthy Cell. It's the only supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. It helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deeply so I can wake up refreshed. Now, if you want to try it, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order. So go to AmericaOutloud.shop, find the Healthy Cell card, click on it. You'll have all the instructions there. Basically, put your cart together, use the code out loud when you check out. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, well, you get 25% off your first order.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body, and now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code out loud at CofixRx.com.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutloud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. And today, we're witnessing the collapse of the rule of law, of justice in America, at least at the federal government level. I talked about, you know, again, Director Ray was speaking to one of the House committees. I don't remember if it was a weaponization committee, but there's been a lot of interesting clips coming out. We're changing gears a little bit because now we're going to talk Representative Massey. He's talking about the relationship between the FBI and private businesses.
In my remaining minute, I want to turn to another issue. George Hill, former FBI supervisory intelligence analyst in the Boston field office, told us that the Bank of America, with no legal process, gave to the FBI gun purchase records with no geographical boundaries for anybody that was a Bank of America customer. Is that true?
Well, what I do know is that a number of business community partners all the time, including financial institutions, share information with us about possible criminal activity. And my understanding is that that's fully lawful. In the specific instance that you're asking about, my understanding is that that information was shared with field offices for information only, but then recalled to avoid even the appearance of any kind of overreach. But my understanding is that that's a fully lawful process.
Once again, this resembles a court case, right? This is a prosecutor with a witness on the stand. And even the way he kind of set Ray up a little bit. So he says, listen, the Bank of America turned over records about gun purchases to the FBI without a warrant. And he starts with the question, is that true? And, you know, Ray's like, well, you know, people hand us information. They're worried about crimes. They simply hand us information all the time. And that's kind of where the setup comes from. Now, again, Director Ray says, I believe this is legal. But I got to talk about that a bit more in a minute. But I want you to hear the rest of the clip, because this is where Massey comes back at Director Ray.
Was there a warrant involved?
Again, my understanding is that the institution in question shared information with us, as happens all the time.
Did you request the information?
I can't speak to the specifics.
Okay, well, we've got an email where it says the FBI did give the search queries to Bank of America. And Bank America responded to the FBI and gave over this information without a search warrant.
So Director Ray is claiming that, well, the Bank of America just handed us this data. They just gave it over to us. And we even went so far as to say, you know what, we're gonna hand it back because we don't want to look bad. Of course, now that you've seen it, you know, you can't unring that bell. But then we come back with evidence, apparent evidence, an email that says, no, the Bank of America didn't just hand this over. There was a request from the FBI. And that's a very important distinction, right? Because if let's say you're a business person and something seems hinky, you think there may be some criminal activity. So you contact the FBI and you say, I think there, you know, this is hinky. Here's my evidence of that. Maybe you should investigate. That's perfectly legal. The FBI requesting this data without a warrant, that's not even close to legal.
Do you believe there's any limitation on your ability to obtain gun purchase data or purchase information for people who aren't suspects from banks without a warrant?
Well, now you're asking a legal question, which I would prefer to defer to the lawyers, since I'm not practicing as one right now, including the department.
Okay, stop right there. This man took an oath to support the Constitution of the United States. If he has no clue what it says, how could he legally take that oath? He swore or affirmed that he would support the Constitution, and that it was a requirement for him taking office. And now he's like, well, it's not my job. I'm not a lawyer. I don't anymore. I'm not practicing. I don't have to. Bullcrap. Absolute bullcrap. There's not a person in this country above the age of 12, I think, that doesn't recognize the need for a warrant before searching data, including requesting data so that you can search it. Well, unless, of course, you happen to work in government or in federal law enforcement.
But what I will tell you is that my understanding is that the process by which we receive information from business community partners across a wide variety of industries, including financial institutions, sharing information with us about possible criminal activity is something that is fully lawful under current federal law.
Then Director Ray is an idiot. An absolute idiot. Because even if the Congress came up and passed a law that says you can gather, you can request and gather this information without a warrant, it'd be void because it would violate the Constitution. The Fourth Amendment says you must have a warrant, probable cause, protected from unreasonable searches. And anything Congress does in violation of the Constitution is void. Alexander Hamilton, Federalist 78, Ex Parte Siebold, Norton v. Shelby County, all have understood that when an act is unconstitutional, it is void. But now listen to the response of Representative Massey.
It may be lawful, but it's not constitutional. I yield back.
That is crap. Absolute crap. Because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It cannot be lawful and yet unconstitutional. That is a level of cognitive dissonance that should explode out of people's heads. Doesn't matter if the Congress passed the law. If it's unconstitutional, that law is void. The Constitution supersedes all of it. But that's the level of nonsense we get out of our federal government. And it's part of why we see the collapse of the rule of law. Even the people that are trying to investigate this corruption don't know what the stupid law says. Mr. Massey took an oath to support the Constitution. Did he not read the Supremacy Clause? Okay, let's shift gear again. We're talking with Representative Biggs has his time with Director Ray. And let's listen to a little bit of linguistic leisure domain.
Our Capitol Police Chief Stevenson reportedly has asserted that the protest crowd was filled with federal agents. Are you aware of his assertion?
I am not.
Would you agree with him that it was filled with federal agents on January 6th?
I would really have to see more closely exactly what he said and get the full context to be able to evaluate it.
How many agents were actually agents or human resources were present in the Capitol complex and vicinity on January 6th?
Well, again, it's going to get confusing because it depends on when we deployed and responded to the breach that occurred. Federal agents.
Sure. You're talking, you and I both know what we're talking, different things here. And please don't distract here because we're focusing on those who were there in an undercover capacity on January 6th. How many were there?
I'm not sure that I can give you that number as I sit here. I'm not sure there were undercover agents on scene.
Yeah, okay, I can give Director Ray a little bit of leeway when he says, if you're asking me to agree with what someone else has said, I got to see what they said. I don't want to agree that they said something based on what you said they said. I want to go to the original story. I give him that. I don't have a problem with that. But listen to I don't know that we there were undercover agents. He's very fine use of words. This is what you see in the legal domain. It's how you word things, what words mean. But it kind of went on a little interesting.
I find that kind of a remarkable statement, Director. At this point, you don't know whether there were undercover federal agents, FBI agents in the crowd or in the Capitol on January 6th.
I say that because I want to be very careful. There have been a number of court filings related to some of these topics, and I want to make sure that I stick within what's in.
I understand that. But I thought I heard you say you didn't know whether there were FBI agents or informants or human sources in the Capitol or in the vicinity on January 6th. Did I misunderstand you? I thought that's what you said.
Well, I referred very specifically to undercover agents.
Yeah. And so are you acknowledging then there were undercover agents?
As I sit here right now, I do not believe there were undercover agents on scene. Any FBI agents?
Did you have any assets present that day in the crowd?
When it comes to what you're calling assets or what we would call confidential human sources, sure. That's a place where, again, I want to be careful, much as I said in response to an earlier question. There are court filings that I think speak to this that I'm happy to make sure we get to you, assuming they're not under seal. And that can better answer the question than I can as I sit here right now.
Interesting. So I'm not going to give you the data. I've got court records, undercover versus confidential human resources or sources. Are you talking about our response or before? A lot of, like I call it, linguistic leisure domain. Now, let's listen to the back and forth between Representative Nels and Director Ray.
I've had an opportunity to look at your testimony, lots of stuff, and hear about numerous task forces, crimes being committed against children, including even infants and toddlers, MS-13 gang members coming across the open southern border, the poisoning and killing of the American people with fentanyl, the sex trafficking, the human trafficking. It is clear that you guys are dealing with some of the sickest bastards in our society. I have an article here from CNN in January 2022 calling the January 6th investigation the biggest investigation in FBI history. And what shocks me about this, quite honestly, is that you don't mention January 6th, again, the biggest investigation, not one time in your 14-page testimony. You don't mention it one time. And that makes me ask myself the question, what the hell are you hiding?
Well, okay, it's not exactly a back and forth, because right now it's Representative Nels. And he points out that in the testimony, Director Ray has covered a lot of stuff, but he hasn't mentioned one word about January 6th. He finds that interesting. He wonders, is Director Ray hiding something?
Sir, you mentioned 38,000 agents and support personnel in your agency. How many FBI agents and support personnel have you assigned to the January 6th investigation?
I don't know that I know the number. I know we have a lot of people working on it in multiple fields.
Lots. Yeah. Knowing that you are dealing with some of the sickest people in our society with investigations related to child sex trafficking, have you reassigned any of these agents or personnel to investigate January 6th? Yes or no?
I don't believe we have reassigned people away from child exploitation to January 6th.
Let me just say this, Director. I find that answer disturbing because last month, Steve Friend, he testified before the Weaponization Committee. Mr. Friend was a domestic terror investigator for you, and he was told by one of his superiors that January 6th was, I quote, a higher priority than pursuing child pornography cases, end quote. And for those of you watching in America, understand today's FBI is more concerned about searching for and arresting grandma and grandpa for entering the Capitol building that day than pursuing the sick individuals in our society who prey on our children. And Mr. Ray, your priorities are flawed.
Now, again, we're dealing with a lot of political grandstanding here, so I'm trying to cut through the political grandstanding to get to the facts and the point. If this informant is correct and the FBI has redirected resources away from other crimes and to this January 6th investigation, the question becomes why? Why is this investigation for what is essentially people wandering through the Capitol? With rare exception, there was some vandalism. The question about did they actually interrupt or disrupt the Congress at the time is iffy at best. But why is this more interested in prosecuting January 6th? Well, than everything else. But it appears to only be part of January 6th. So let's go back to Representative Thomas Massie's discussion with Director Wray.
Director Wray, in light of information provided to us about the FBI's investigation of the January 6th pipe bombs, in an interview with Assistant Director Stephen Drontuono, Chairman Jordan and I sent you a letter a month ago. Some of the information that we found in that interview was that phone data that could have helped to identify the pipe bomber was corrupted, was unusable. He also wasn't sure who found or how the second bomb was found at the DNC. Do you know how the second bomb was found at the DNC? And when do you plan on answering our letter?
I'm a little more interested in this corrupted cell phone data than I am in the FBI answering a congressional letter. Partially because, how did it get corrupted? Don't they have backups? Couldn't they get the data again from the service provider? Is it the service provider that has corrupted data? There's a lot going on here that I'd love to know about that apparently isn't a concern to Representative Massie.
Well, as to the letter, I will work with the department to make sure we can figure out what information we can provide. As you know, this is a very active, ongoing investigation, and there are some restrictions on that, but
we can handle classified information, and we fund your department, and so you need to provide that.
It's not an issue of classification. It's an issue of commenting on ongoing criminal investigations, which is something that by longstanding department policy we are restricted in doing. And in fact, the last administration actually strengthened those policies partly
because... That's not our policy, though, and we fund you. So let's move on.
Interesting. It's not our policy, and we fund you. As I've said before, of the three branches of government, Congress has the most power, one of them being the power of the purse. Maybe Representative Massie's kind of throwing that power around a little willy-nilly, but it's the recognition that the FBI is not independent of Congress. Congress holds its purse strings, and maybe that should be used a little bit more. In fact, I got another example of that coming up, but I have to take a break first. Before I go, if you like this type of information, the Constitution Study is only one of several voices heard on AmericaOutloud.news. So please go there every day to find out what's going on. But I need you to do your part. Don't simply read it. Take the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, and share them as far and as wide as you can. By doing so, you help all of us as we work to secure the blessings of liberty.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I don't know about you. I've had enough of Director Wray. Let's take a look at some other examples of the collapse of the rule of law in the federal government. Now, we all know that cocaine was discovered in the White House. First time, apparently, cocaine's ever been discovered in the White House. And there's a lot of stuff going on. But what I find interesting is people who are familiar with White House security, people who've actually been deeply involved in White House security, saying it should be relatively easy to figure out who did this. If it's a member of the family, then, you know, they go through a different entrance, but they've got security cameras and stuff. It should be relatively easy to figure out who did this. But of course, the story keeps changing. And now the latest iteration is, well, the Secret Service says, we give up. Sorry, we give up. We can't figure out who did this. You know, no mas, which just doesn't seem good for the Secret Service. I mean, they're going to give up after a week. There's cocaine in the White House, an illegal drug, a controlled substance in the White House. And they just give up after, what, a week or two? I find that interesting. Now, is that proof of malfeasance on the part of the Secret Service? No, it is not. But in our current climate, you'd think they would at least keep the investigation open a while longer so that it looked like they were actually investigating this cocaine in the White House. And now I'm hearing that a report from the Secret Service Uniform Division that small amounts of marijuana were found in the White House on two occasions in 2022, and that led to no arrests or anything else. So, again, you got to kind of wonder, is the Secret Service now more of a Praetorian Guard than actual enforcers of law? Now, I want to shift gears because there's a couple stories I want to get to and I think you'll find important. One is Tennessee Representative Burchett he's proposed an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act to require transgender men to register for the draft. All right, to me, this is just piling stupid on top of stupid. You know, maybe this is, again, a political stunt, but a transgender man is not a man. It is a woman pretending to be a man. Anything else, that's just scientific, biological fact. Now, I don't know when you got to get the question of the draft, because the draft's unconstitutional, and I can pretty much prove it. It's easy to prove it because you're basically depriving people of their life, liberty, and property without due process of law, a violation of the Fifth Amendment. But it just kind of shows this is a Republican with just as much of a stupid answer to problems as so many others. But I want to get back. Before I took the last break, I talked about money and using the power of the purse. Well, you all heard of the new Space Force, right? Well, apparently, they were planning on building the new Space Force headquarters in Alabama. We'll just say that apparently the Biden administration is attempting to coerce. They're threatening to move it because they do not like Alabama's they don't like Alabama's strict abortion laws. So they say, oh, we're going to move it. You were going to get this, but we're going to take it away because we don't like your laws. Okay, fair enough. But the U.S. senators from Alabama had this I love there was a counter move. You have Senator Tuberville, who's on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and you've got also Mike Rogers, also he's on the House Armed Services Committee, and they basically cut all funding for the Air Force, or more accurately, they're blocking funding for the entire Air Force because the Biden administration until the Biden administration officially announces where the headquarters are going to be. Now, to me, that's the use of the power of the purse. If you're going to play politics on one side, we're going to play politics on the other side. Now, I'm sure there are people that are apoplectic, but it's the Air Force. We need it. We're all going to die if we don't fund the Air Force. I'm sure the Air Force will survive for a little while these gentlemen have their pissing contest and decide, you know, what's going on. Is the Biden administration going to use the Space Force headquarters for a policy agenda, for a political agenda that has nothing to do with self-defense, defense of the nation, the common defense? Or, you know, then why is it wrong for the representatives of the people in the states to say, listen, if you're going to play games with this, you don't get your money? I just find that to be, to me, an interesting way to go about dealing with this. You have a problem? Fine, we're going to defund you. Maybe they should have defunded the Space Force. Maybe that would have made more sense. I don't know. I'm not in there in their heads. I don't have all this. But maybe it's a good idea to start defunding the FBI until they start following their oath to fulfill the Constitution, and until they get some of their internal policies, their internal self-regulation in order. But there's one other one that's passed by, and another example of just trashing the rule of law. So I've talked before about the Equal Rights Amendment. I talked about it months ago. And you know, there are still people trying to get it added to the Constitution, even though it never was ratified by sufficient states. You see, back in 1972, Congress passed the proposed constitutional amendment called the Equal Rights Amendment. And Congress gave the state 7 years to ratify it, right? They had 7 years. They weren't forced to. It wasn't required by law. Congress decided to give them 7 years. Now, the seven-year deadline ended, and Congress unconstitutionally said, no, we're going to extend it to 10 years. They never actually refiled the amendment, none of that. Well, listen, by 1982, they didn't have enough. They only had 35 of the 38 states required to get to actually have this become an amendment to the Constitution. But again, the law just doesn't seem to matter to some people. So now you've got New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Missouri House Rep Cori Bush, and they've introduced a proposal to basically ignore the deadline, state that the ERA has already been ratified and it actually is the 28th Amendment, and urge the National Archivist to certify and publish it immediately, at least according to reporting from the New York Times. Now, again, this is these are two members of Congress ignoring the Constitution, ignoring their own laws, right? Because it was Congress that passed the proposed amendment. It was Congress that put a seven-year limit on it. That limit is far expired. And not enough states ratified it. They lost. Oh, we can't lose. We've got to change the rules of the game. And interesting enough, they're just, like I said, just going to ignore the law and try to, I don't know, how are they going to coerce a National Archivist to certify and publish it? And by the way, what should the states do if the archivist actually does certify and publish this? Because now you have Congress blatantly violating the Constitution, blatantly violating the law, blatantly, you know, basically giving the states the middle finger. And what are the states going to do? Are they even thinking about what they can do? What they should do, should the archivist move ahead and actually illegally attempt to certify this amendment that never happened. You know, it's really funny. I have people contact me, they'll state sometimes that, you know, this amendment wasn't properly ratified, that amendment wasn't properly ratified. And when I ask for evidence, they say, well, you know, you've got this and you've got that. Here I have evidence that the ERA has never been ratified. Its deadline has far expired. Right? You're talking over 40 years it has expired, and you still have these tyrants saying, no, we're going to ignore the laws, and we're simply going to make it pretend that it actually happened. It's about time. You know, all I can say is for the people of the state of New York and states of New York and Missouri, really, these are the people you want representing you. This is your idea that we're just going to, you know, like spoiled children, we don't get our way, we're going to change the rules of the game. You know, what is this, Calvin ball? You know, oh, we're starting to lose, we got to change the rules of the game so that we win now. That's what they're doing. And if you live in the state of New York or Missouri, they represent you. This is your hired employee representing you. This tells me about the people of the state of New York, which I used to live, and the state of Missouri, which no, I don't never lived there, tells me a lot more about those people that they put up with this nonsense. Now, the only good news I would say is that while the Senate is in the hands of the Democrats, and they might try to push this through, The House is not. But I ask you, if you can simply blatantly ignore the law and shove through your agenda in contravention of the Constitution, the laws, and all that is holy, where does it stop? Do you see why I say this is stuff, you know, yes, you would expect this of a banana republic, but you know what? At this scale, any banana republic should be insulted by being compared to the United States. Because what we're living through now is worse than any banana republic I can, just about any banana republic I can think of. Okay, yeah, we don't have, Che Guevara and people being shot down in the street for protesting against the government. So maybe we're not that bad. But when you look at the core of the government and you see these types of actions, the complete, the destruction, the crumbling of the rule of law in federal law enforcement. And again, we focus a lot on the FBI. We talked a little bit about the Secret Service, but what about the DOJ, the Attorney General? We just watched the laws crumble. And where's the protection of your rights if the laws aren't there? Or I should say, if the laws aren't enforced. What good is a law if no one's going to follow it? Then we live in anarchy. And we get the democracy that people have been calling for decades. We get mob rule. And we get a couple of Congress people that are going to try and just overturn the Constitution and implement their own system. And if you disregard, if you complain, if you petition your government for a redress of grievance over a presidential election, if it's one party, you go to jail. If it's another party, you get lionized. Is that really where you want to live? Are these people really representing you? Do they represent your thoughts, your ideas? Is this what you want? Well, then what in heaven's name are you doing about it? But Paul, the elections are rigged. Work harder so that they can't rig the elections. I don't mean prevent them from rigging. Make it so that even their rigging cannot overcome finding people that will actually follow the rule of law, that will actually hold the criminals accountable, not do political grandstanding, like Massey and Getz and others, not do, little hit jobs. How about you actually file articles of impeachment? How about you list out the crimes that Director Wray has committed and charge him and impeach him for those crimes, those high crimes? How about it? The reason they don't is because this is not about the rule of law. This is not about justice. This is not about equal protection of the law. This is about politics. This is about party politics. And I think little, if anything else, which simply reminds me of George Washington and his farewell address. He warned us. He said, the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most hardened enmities, is itself a frightful despotism. We are living in that despotism because we have focused more on donkeys and elephants than we have on the Constitution, laws, and justice. Now listen to this. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of an own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. Can you think of a better description than America in the 21st century? Whether it's Biden or Newsom or Cuomo or Trump or DeSantis, people are putting their hope not in justice, not in the Constitution, not in liberties and freedoms that are part of this nation, but in individuals. And one of them is eventually going to become king. They will turn their focuses and they will rise and they will effectively become king. And your public liberty will disappear. That's what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. Because not only are we hiring thieves and crooks and petulant children to represent us, we are hiring people that we know are lying to us. We are letting them get away with it. See, we're witnessing the collapse of the rule of law in the federal government, not because we have crooks in Washington, D.C., but because we, the people, have hired crooks to represent us in Washington, D.C. Stop pointing your fingers at the Rays and the Bidens and the Masseys or the Getz. Point your finger where it belongs. If these people do not represent you, what are you doing to change that? And if they recognize they may absolutely represent the people they do. I mean, they may be a perfect representation of what the people in their state and their districts want. But what does that tell you about the rule of law in those states? We get what we ask for. And like it or not, the American people have asked for this. Not just because we voted for these people, but because we kept placing our own comfort, our own ease above our duty to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and most importantly, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. I hope you'll come back every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us here for the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, all the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. You can find them on your favorite podcast app or at the website AmericaOutloud.news. But do me a favor. If you listen to podcasts, subscribe to the program. Rate and review the shows, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. Now find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But if you want to save the Republic, we need to share this information, because that is how we share the blessings of liberty.